Good morning. This is Precept Bible Study, and we are studying from Rolling Springs Baptist Church. And our study at this time is the study of 1 Corinthians in God's Word. And we are so happy for each of you that are joining us today. And I pray that God will bless us as we study this portion of His Word. So let us begin in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come to you this morning praising you for your precious Word. And we want to study that we may know you more, Father, and that in knowing you more, we may live it out in our lives to be a witness for you, Lord, and to bring you honor and glory. And we ask it now in the name of Jesus. We're going to begin our study by doing what we call an overview. Now, an overview is a complete a picture of the study that we are studying. And this is like taking a trip and getting in a plane, and as you get up in the air, you begin to see an overview or a big picture of what's below you. So that's exactly what we're going to do in this first lesson that we have here in lesson one of the book of 1 Corinthians. It's looking at the entire book as Paul wrote it. So we'll begin this discussion and look at it through the eyes of God, through His Word, that we may bring Him honor and glory. So as we study through this, we like to start by saying who the author is. And we know in the very beginning that the author is Paul. And Paul has with him Sothenes, who is his secretary, more than likely, and is writing this letter for Paul. And then we want to look at who the letter was written to, who the recipients are. And so as we look deeper into the letter, we see that it's between Paul and the Corinthians. So Paul had preached the gospel at Corinth sometime prior to writing this letter. And he wrote this letter to them before this one. He wrote a letter. In other words, this is the second letter. And if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 9 and 11, he tells the recipients there that he had written to them prior. So, as he is writing this letter to the Corinthian saints, the church that has been established there, we want to know why. Why was Paul writing this letter? He had been informed that there was quarrels among them. So he wrote the letter to exhort them, to appeal to them, to agree and have no divisions. And he wanted them to have the same mind and judgment. And that information is in chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Now, he also wrote to admonish them. And you'll find that in chapter 4, verse 14. And then in chapter 7, verse 1, you find that they had written to Paul. And in chapters 7 through 16, he responded to what they had written. to him. Now, the main segments is very important to know as you study through any letter or anything that is written in God's Word. So, looking at the main segments here in 1 Corinthians, we find that chapters 1 through 6, Paul addressed the problems that he had been informed about. And then in the second segment is chapter 7 through 16, that is his response to what they had written to him. Now, we're going to briefly take each chapter. I'm not reading scriptures because I want you, as those that are listening and those that are in the class, to read and study of this overview by going through the 16 chapters in the book of Corinthians, so that you'll be able to get a view of what each chapter is about. And when you look at what each chapter is about, then it gives you the theme of the entire book or letter that Paul has written to the Corinthian church. So I'm just briefly going to bring out some highlights in each chapter, but I want you to read the chapters so that you can be able to see of what each chapter is referring to. And you will find, as you study in each chapter, there are words that are repeated in that chapter that gives you really what that chapter is about. So if you highlight or underline the key words, we call them keywords because they're the key that opens understanding of the Word of God as you study. And of course, we know that we are taught by and through the Holy Spirit. We as leaders are only instruments that God uses, but the Holy Spirit must abide in us to be able to lead us. So we're looking now, as we study, as the Holy Spirit leads us. So in this first chapter of 1 Corinthians, we find that Paul was writing this because he was very concerned about what was going on at the church there in Corinth. So the Corinthian Christians were not lacking anything in their Christianity because they had heard the gospel. It had been preached to them, and they received God's grace, and they had been taught by godly teachers. The disciples, remember Jesus said before he went away that he was giving them a command to go and to preach the gospel, first in Jerusalem, Samaria, and throughout the world. So they had been carrying his word. And of course, Paul went on his missionary journey, and he too, after he was called, began to spread the word. So these Corinthians had received God's grace and had been taught by godly teachers. So the problem that they were boasting in men that led to quarrels, and they were seeking wisdom from men and not from God. So here we see that there was a division and quarreling in the body of Christ. And this letter has a solution for the church or individuals. And Paul agreed, and he had made complete, that they should be united in the same mind. So after stating the problem, he told them where true wisdom comes from, which is the cross. And God gives wisdom to men through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, what do we see then in chapter 1 that would be a theme here for this chapter? We know they have problems, we know they have divisions, and they are boasting in themselves and not in God. So, a theme that we could use would be problem / divisions, and then boast in God's wisdom and not men. So that pretty much is the highlight of chapter 1. Now, there are several chapters, in fact 16, so we'll try to go through this as quickly as possible to get the overall picture. So going to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we see what this is about. Paul used himself and his preaching twice to illustrate God's wisdom. And verse 1 through 17 says that he did not preach in cleverness of speech, but through eloquent wisdom. Now, in chapter 2, 1 through 5, it continues with that thought. And his preaching demonstrated the Holy Spirit and the power of God and not Paul's persuasiveness. And then in verse 6, he mentions the mature, which some of these here in the church of Corinth had not yet become mature. So this chapter teaches that God's wisdom comes through the Holy Spirit. And all believers receive that Holy Spirit when they're saved. And through Him, we are given the mind of Christ. Now this is true wisdom. So what would we see would be the theme of this chapter? It could be, and a good thought that it is, God reveals His wisdom through His Spirit, as we saw in that review. Now go into chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. How is the church, how is it immaturity described, and what it's about? So we see in chapter 3, it's about jealousy and strife among them that caused them to live like others around them. In other words, they were living more like the world, those that were unsaved. And so living that way, it causes quarrels and divisions. And Paul wrote the letter to exhort them or appeal to them, and to teach them that they needed to grow up. And so he is saying to them that you have been saved by the blood of Jesus, and you are now His children, and you should not be acting as children, but you should grow up. In other words, you should become strong in the Word, in the grace of God, and not be as infants. So looking at the theme, you could say infants, jealousy, strife, and built on Christ. Now going to 1 Corinthians chapter 4, how does this continue in this chapter, the flow of thought through these verses? verse 6 is a caution that they not exceed what is written to become arrogant or puffed up. In other words, their salvation is not to cause them to be puffed up or to have pride. In verses 14 through 21, Paul wrote that he wanted to admonish them because he was their father in Christ. And he exhorted them to imitate him as a mature man in Christ. And we also see in this chapter that he sent Timothy to them with this letter to remind them of how Paul was living his ways, the way of Christ. So looking at the theme for chapter 4, it's more or less Paul saying, don't be arrogant or boast about servants and stewards. Now looking at chapter 5 as an overview, we see that Paul referred to either the same report that he had made in 1:11 or a different one. But this problem had to do with their immorality being tolerated in the church. There was those in the church that were not living true Christian lives, but they were immoral. And that was the problem. And the thing is that Paul was saying, as church believers, you should not be tolerating this. They were arrogant about tolerating this sin instead of mourning about it. And his instruction in this chapter is clear. Verses 2, 7, and 13 says to remove the wicked ones from your midst. And it's also a warning to our churches today. So as a theme, you could use remove the wicked from your midst. Now going to chapter 6, what is this about? It's about lawsuits against brothers that were being judged by unrighteous outside the church. And Paul warned them about being deceived. The unrighteous will not inherit God's kingdom. They were not like the unrighteous anywhere. They had been washed in the blood of Jesus. So they should be not to look to the unrighteous as wise. So what do we find then would be the theme? It's about lawsuits and about fleeing immorality and to glorify God. Now it seems that chapters 5 and 6 are a segment about these problems of tolerating immorality and lawsuits. So, what I'm going to do now in chapter 7 through 16 is just give you an overview or a picture of what these chapters are about. Chapter 7, as we read through that chapter, we see that Paul is addressing marriage and about virgins. And it's very important in this study that we learn what God's word that was given to Paul tells us about marriage and how sacred it is, and about virgins. And then in looking at chapters 8 through chapter 10, Paul talks about things sacrificed to idols and food that is offered to idols. And we will learn the details on that as we study those chapters. And then chapter 11, Paul speaks of traditions. And that is the traditions that have been handed down by the ancestors that were given in the Old Testament. Remember, when Paul was writing at this time, at this letter, the New Testament had not been written. This is part of the New Testament. And so everything that they're looking at from the scripture is about what was given to the prophets. But we know that the disciples, when Jesus came and was born, then the New Testament began to be written by Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And we see the book of Acts and the book of Romans, and then the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, which we'll be studying. And then we see in chapters 12 through 14, Paul talks about spiritual gifts. Once you have believed and accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes to live in your heart. And you are given spiritual gifts. Every believer has spiritual gifts. And sometimes you hear believers say, "Well, I don't know what my gifts are." How can you know what your gifts are? You can pray. You can ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you those spiritual gifts, and He will. He will impress it into your heart and your mind to know what you are given as spiritual gifts. And then as you go into chapter 15, we learn it's about the gospel. Paul, remember, was on the road to Damascus whenever the Holy Spirit, when the Lord Jesus himself spoke to Paul, and he was blinded for 3 days. And then as he believed in the Lord and accepted him as his Lord and Savior, we know that he was directed to a man called Ananias. And he stayed with him 3 days, and then the scales were lifted from Paul's eyes, and he began to preach the gospel. And the gospel, we know, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So chapter 15 is about that gospel that Paul was given, and he tells his leaders of his experience, and he speaks to them about the resurrection. And this is such a wonderful study about Jesus and about his death, burial, and resurrection. And then in chapter 16, we see where Paul encourages the church to send a collection to other churches that are in need. It's for the saints. So we need to look at this discussion, this overview today, and look at our churches today and see what kind of problems that the body of Christ, which is all believers, deal with today that are the same or similar to those of the Corinthians. And as we study through this course, we're going to learn through God's Word how to deal with these problems when they arise in our churches today. You may be in a church that is growing in the grace of God and is established and is not having these problems. It's a very moral church. But listen, Satan is roaming, and if he can find a church that is established in God's Word, he will do everything in his power to disturb and to break up that church and to take away the establishment in Jesus. That's what he is doing, roaming throughout this world, trying to destroy and take from every believer their precious witness. So this is going to help each of us to be stronger. It speaks to each of us today. It's written for us today as believers. So my prayer throughout the study is that God will give each of us, you and I, it's our study together in God's Word, and that He will instill His Word into us and give us understanding of His truths. So we'll end the study today, and then we'll begin again next week on this lesson 2, which will be on the first chapter of 1 Corinthians. As we go through this study, we are going to study it precept upon precept, and that means word upon word. We're going to take each verse and each chapter, throughout each chapter, and study it that we may know Jesus more, we may learn of Him, and we may be in His will. Let us close today in prayer. Heavenly Father, how precious is Your Word. How thankful we are that we have Your Word, that we can learn of You, because in John 1, John wrote that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and there was nothing that was created without Him. So we know that Word is Jesus. He is the Word. And Father, He has given through these precious men that have written down the Word, that we may come to know Him more. And I pray, Father, that You will lead me and guide me through the Spirit to lead this study, that others may learn of You. And if there be anyone that does not know You, I pray that throughout this study they will read Your Word and heed Your Word and come to believe upon the name of Jesus. And I ask it all now in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.